Won't you pray with me, please? Lord, as we hear your word to us this day, we ask that your Spirit come to fall afresh upon us. Melt us, mold us, fill us with your knowledge of life. Let us be your servants, proud and strong. Amen. During this past pandemic, I began reading more and liking it more. Like many of us, you and I had the time. I belong to two book groups, and we read a plethora of books recommended by members of our groups, books that we might review either online or in the paper or find out from friends. And each month, we discuss our views about the author as well as the theme of our readings. This month is an oldie, moldy oldie that probably some of you know. It was a novel that was written back in the early 50s, and it was entitled East of Eden. It's by the Nobel Prize author, John Steinbeck. He also wrote another book that you're probably familiar with, The Grapes of Wrath. From what my husband tells me and from what friends tell me, the movie that came out after the book was quite well received too. East of Eden tells about the details of two families, the Hamilton family and the Trask family, in the early 20th century, and their interwoven stories, which include not only the immigration of some of them from Ireland, but also family prominent leaders such as Adam and Sam, and many more. Themes include weaknesses and strengths of love and hate, depravity and money, acceptance and greatness, guilt and freedom. It sounds a bit like reading some of the stories in our Bibles, doesn't it? Come to think about it, the title and the themes of this particular book by Steinbeck is inspired from the text in our book of Genesis. Remember the story of Cain and Abel. There are biblical parallels in this novel that I believe are noteworthy, and I highly recommend them, your reading of this book for your enjoyment. In our text today that Sue just read for us, we are hearing about similar capabilities of leadership as well, how weaknesses and strengths apply to those leaders that we are called to be as prophets in the Bible, apostles, or disciples, how they are confronted with things in not only their own life and faith, but also in death. Ezekiel, the prophet, was, yes, an author. He was a priest, and he was proclaiming the will of the Lord. And Paul, the apostle, was also an author, and he was a teacher of God's good news to those in early Christianity. They were leaders who wanted their people to know the difference between truthful and false prophecy. Now, as we all know, or as we may remember, strength in leadership is not new. By definition, it includes the desire to serve a purpose, the ability to make tough decisions, leading by example, and also it includes, leadership does, such things as compassion, confidence in yourself, great communication skills, besides fostering a creative environment. Those are big items, aren't they, for leadership? But ironically, as I was thinking about these, a pastor in a church comes to mind. Arguably, these were strong components of living in their time, those particular people that we hear today about Ezekiel and Paul, Judah in the land of Israel, and Corinth, where they both were speaking as leaders. They spoke to people who were in distress, who were actually living in trauma, In fact, we hear the use of the words, they were rebels, or they were unruly. But these people not only listened, they listened in anger, and they were stubborn. That's what the text tells us. And yet, these leaders, they needed to defend themselves, and they also needed to defend others. And they had to do it often. One group in Judah, discouraged by the Babylonian invasion, described the nation as a group of rebels, yes. And they listened to this prophet, Ezekiel. And Ezekiel literally means, as a Hebrew prophet, he was God's strength. And Ezekiel is expressing the power of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit that comes to him through the Lord. And in receiving this Spirit, Ezekiel would rescue all of those who were in their atrocities if they would listen to what he was bringing to them from the Lord's words. Ezekiel brought his people through some of the worst despair and some of the denial that they were a part of in their lives. And then the other group, the Christians that were in the church of Corinth, they were labeled as unruly and troublesome, almost protagonists. And they heard Paul the Apostle tell them of the power of God that comes to them in the form of sufficient grace in times of trouble and in hardship. Paul relates that weakness is followed by strength when believing in the power of God. And we know this, many of the biblical Psalms that we read, they tell us this as well, don't they? We might ask, how do these leaders take on their tasks in trying times? And more importantly, how do we find ourselves in times of discontent, difficulty, or distress? Who do we turn to for the truth? Who do we trust? Who's the honest person that we might come to that is going to keep us from being unrailed? Well, I have to admit that it's not easy when we are actually living the experience, as you and I have for the last 15, 16 months. But I have to ask this, who was your favorite teacher in school? Who was your boss at your job that you really liked to work for? Who's that family member or friend that you could confide in? A person that you trusted no matter what? I think these passages that we hear in Scripture today help us to try to acknowledge and balance our own identity as to not only who we are, but what our limits are and where we are going. Where are we headed in life and in our faith and in death? Can we describe our own weaknesses and strengths? I love that word mortal that we were talking about in Ezekiel. It actually means son of man, as we were saying, meaning that a mortal is a person like you or myself. You might want to read the book that's entitled Being Mortal. It tells a lot about how we live in today's world, and yet we are going to, at some time, die, and our physical body dies, but our souls are entwined in eternity with the Lord God. That word mortal in the book of Ezekiel, it's used over 90 times, so it's a very important word that the Lord calls Ezekiel a mortal. And it describes how that or we are going to live our life, and then, yes, we're physically going to die. Ezekiel, in his clever manner, his visionary images that he has of the Lord at work, he brought his people to embrace the Lord through their tragedies. One of the stories that we read in the next chapter in Ezekiel, the third chapter, tells about the Lord coming to Ezekiel, and he says, I'll tell you what to say, and I will write it on a scroll. And you know what I want you to do, Ezekiel? I want you to eat it. And you know what he did? Ezekiel ate it. It reminds me of the time period when we were children, such as the boys are now, and you were at the dinner table, and your mother and dad said, well, if you eat everything on your plate, you get dessert. And you looked at the macaroni and cheese and you loved it, but you looked at the broccoli and you said, I don't really like that. But you knew that it was going to be good for you afterwards. That's what Ezekiel thought. He thought that if I ate the scroll and ate up these words that the Lord told me, I'd be able to express them to others and they would believe me. If we ate our broccoli and our peas and our carrots and all the vegetables that we didn't like at a young age, you know what? Our mother and dad were telling us, health-wise, we're going to be fine when we were older. Yes, Ezekiel not only had to defend himself as the things that he did, but he also had to defend God. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, after reaching and receiving a thorn in the flesh that God said to him, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness." You see, Paul is actually disguising himself. He's doing this all along in the first portion of our text. He says, "I know a person in Christ." Well, that person happens to be him for the last 14 years who's been going through these hard times and also experiencing what God has given and provided for him. But his restraint or his reticence in wanting to describe this, I find rather appalling as you read the text itself. He's boasting about his strengths in knowing that he knows more than some of the other people that are bringing their words to the people. But he also knows what his own weaknesses are. Why doesn't he just say it? "I know in the end that in life and in death we belong to God. As Christian followers, we will enjoy God's presence eternally." That is, when we die physically as well. Yes, he does tell them this later, as we know, about his own transformation, about the hardships that he had. Remember when he was Saul and then he became Paul, the persecutions that he went through, all in the name of Christ Jesus. Yes, Paul defended himself and he defended God. I believe that Ezekiel and Paul and other leaders that we hear in the Bible, in their time and in their space, they were honest with themselves and they were honest with God. Their message was that God will bring good things back to God's people once again. Leadership is not easy. And when called, sometimes we're not ready. We don't think we're ready to take on those responsibilities. Like Moses, like Samuel, like Ezekiel and Paul, pastors in churches, even our presidents, those people today, sometimes we need to be coerced into a leadership role. It may or may not bring rewards to them or to us or to or for their people. How many of us have been in turmoil this past season, receiving all the things that have happened to us, reliving, literally, the COVID-19 year, asking where the grace that is sufficient that we've given to such people as the scientists, the frontline health workers, teachers, ministers, and sessions with ministers in churches? What about the truckers, the businesses, the meat packers, and the restaurant owners, the industrial laborers that were trying so hard to continue a pattern of normalcy when change and more change was needed, and yes, it was attained in order to survive? What leaders did we admire? What leaders did we listen to? What were their strengths and what were their weaknesses? Their power, their guidance, their truths that were spoken, and the deeds that were done. Being honest with ourselves, and I know I have to be honest with myself when I say this, we may not have cared one hoot about any grace that was given. We just wanted a vaccine. Through it all, we have found that masks, distancing, washing frequently, even mandating that these things were so, have worked against this horrid virus, and that leadership far outweighed misinformation, personal insults, and attacks on decisions that were made, or conspiracy theories, all aimed at trying to destroy COVID. You and I gained strength, and we gained power by our conversations with each other, by our listening to one another, and by our abiding in our faith and working together. We are still doing that. We're still working together on these collaborations in spite of the briars or the thorns or the variants, especially the variants that are out now, or new cases that are being detected in particular parts of our nation. Just as the Israelites and the Corinthians may have felt that they lost their identity in all the skirmishes of the catastrophic failures that they went through, we have been tested to our limits in surviving a pandemic of utmost proportions, you and I. As they, the people of God, in the 6th century BCE, nearly lost everything, we know that they didn't. And we didn't in our time this past year, because of the leaders who helped us through hard times. In The Power of Poetry, some of you remember Amanda Gorman. She was present and had a powerful poem that she gave at the president's inauguration just recently. And in that poem entitled "The Hill We Climb," she proclaims this, quote, "So while once we asked, how could we possibly prevail over catastrophe? Now we assert, how could catastrophe possibly prevail over us?" Unquote. In our hopefulness, and I say in our hopefulness, through the sufficient grace of God, we as God's people will emerge strong, healthy, and unbroken as people in a free nation under God's power and God's leadership. Thanks be to God. Amen.